And now, as we stated yesterday, five times in the history of college football, we have seen an AP top five rematch where the loser of the first game wins the second game. 5 for 5. That's happened. How significant was it for Georgia? Former head football coach Jim Donnan joins us now on the Bud Light Hotline. Coach, interested just emotionally, what you were feeling and what it meant to you to see Kirby Smart and company wrap up that national championship last night.
Yeah, it was definitely emotional. I mean, you know, any way you look at it, you certainly captured that in the way you set this up. It's just been a long time for the Georgia people, but took a long time to get it. But it was a very pretty game in a lot of aspects, but it was definitely the end result. And also for Stetson Bennett, I'm sure Greg has had ups and downs too. He had a lot more ups, but you know, for the people have been on his ass all year, and for him to come back and play like that in the fourth quarter was just monumental. But fortunately for us, that you know, I hope Williamson not too bad hurt, maybe. But you know, they didn't have their best guys, and they've had a couple critical drops inside the 15 that would really hurt us, but. Just a tremendous win. I don't know what else to say except I'm very proud for Kirby and the whole Georgia program.
Coach, I saw you a couple months back, and the first question I got at the three stops I made in the Georgia speaking circuit was, why the heck is Stetson Bennett our quarterback? But it felt like last night, it felt like they'd almost kind of come around, at least within the building. And even in the days and weeks leading up, it's almost as if they came around saying, man, this is our guy. So what happened? When did that switch flip with Georgia fans who in mid to late October were disappointed that he was their guy? And then here we are in early January, thrilled that he was their guy.
Probably about 12:01 a.m. last night. I mean, you had to finish it. You had to actually do it, Greg, because there's so many doubters. People read these star ratings. They do all that. But I know you've watched and Cole's watched this guy practice. I mean, he really has a lot better arm than he gets credit for. His mobility last night just kept Georgia out of some really humongous situations. And a really good coaching job by Nick and Golding. Running that linebacker through every time we got under center, they ran, they got through, and our play action passes were nil. I mean, we had some horrific losses on first down. So, but fortunately, in spite of that, we finally were able to attack the corners at the end of the game and get some big plays and got George Pickens out of the witness protection system. I didn't know if he was even at the game, but it was great to see him catch that one and get that interference.
Jim Donnan, former Georgia head football coach, joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Coach, I'm interested what you saw different this time around schematically, especially from Kirby and Dan Lanning on the defensive side of the football that was able to help bring them success.
Yeah, I think after the first game, Cole, we really didn't feel like that was our style. I mean, as both of you know, when you got two receivers like Mechie and Williams, it's just a situation where a defensive coordinator or head coach like Kirby and Lanning, you worry about those guys. And I think we put too much emphasis on trying to cover them and didn't get enough heat on Bryce. And last night, even though we didn't sack him that much, he was under duress, and he took some pounding now. He got some hits after the throws, and as both of you know, that helps too. But I think a couple drops helped us. But I would just say schematically, we got a lot of edge pressure and just enough from our backers running through to make him, you know, at least sprint out a little bit. I mean, get out of the pocket where he's throwing the ball on the run. And then for us, you know, we tackled in space pretty well too. They didn't get a lot of chunk plays. They got a couple nice little balls, but overall schematically I just thought more pressure and maybe a little more zone coverage on the back end and try to keep the ball in front of us pretty well.
When you think about this defense, Coach, and obviously they were embarrassed the first time around, but they clamped down in the red zone. They didn't allow the big plays that they gave up in the game, and they gave up a few. You're going to, it's Bama, they're going to create big plays. That's what they do. but those big plays weren't for six. They were able to drop Cam Latu. They were able to tackle Jamison Williams. They were able to get guys to the ground even after they had a lot of room to run and make plays. So how would you kind of characterize this defensive performance as a whole when thinking about how badly they struggled the first time around?
Well, you know, the biggest room in the world is room for improvement, and I thought we made a lot of improvement on a couple of things. First of all, eye contact with the ball. We didn't get beat that much on the deep. You know, a bad play by Keely Ringo on the tight end. He's got a deep third, and the guy runs right past him. But I would say overall, you just got to give the secondary, particularly William Poole, like a fifth or sixth-year guy that had to come in there and play star. Got beat by Mechie a lot in the first game, but a big play on third down to get that three and out after we hit that one touchdown. But I can't say enough about just offense, though, struggling like they did for three quarters and then finding the style they needed, whether it was throwing the ball on the perimeter or running the ball. Both those backs had big games running the ball. White, just really strong in the end, and then of course Cook with the big run. So it's easy to sit here and analyze things, but as both of you know, when the dang fans playing, you got to make the calls. And I thought both teams, played extremely hard. It's just a lot of breaks both ways, a lot of calls both ways, and you just got to hang in there and find a way to win.
Have you ever seen a play like the Stetson Bennett forward pass, fumble, bounce, player branch, catch ball on edge of sideline, go out of bounds? I mean, Coach, when that one happened, with so many different things going on that could have been right, could have been wrong, could have gone either way, and then Bama takes the lead after being right there in scoring position, I thought the game was over then, I'll be honest. I said, you don't have something like that happen and just bounce back from that. I've never seen a play like it and then have to be impressed with just how Georgia bounced back from that moment.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the indifference of the guy just catching the ball on the sideline and picking up, it's like, I'm just going to throw it to the referee. He didn't realize he's recovering a fumble in the biggest play of the year. I mean, and by an inch in bounds. So just so many things are controlled by, situations like that. But as you mentioned, based on everything, and I think I've heard you guys talk about the history of Georgia, the monkey on the back, everything. If there was ever a situation to say, here we go again, there's no way we can overcome this, that was it. I mean, just looking at it, you're thinking, well, we haven't done that much anyhow. And to come back and march the ball like that and take over the fourth quarter, you got to give Georgia credit for that. I mean, any way you look at it, you got to seize the moment. I mean, both of you played in big games. And fortunately, when you guys talk about things, you're guys that have played football, so you're not just making stuff up like some of these guys do. But, the reality, the pressure, the situation, the gravity, all the things that are involved in doing that, you just think about it. And I talked to a couple of our players and coaches, going into the championship situation playing Michigan. I said, my dad told me this when I was coaching at Oklahoma, and we were playing for the national championship, which was the first one I was able to be involved with. And he said, look, you're probably never going to get another shot like this. You better let it rip. Fortunately for me, I got some more, but that's the point. You know, how many guys get to play for it all? And you got to give Kirby, the staff, the players, they came through. Usually it's Nick and his group that make those plays in the fourth quarter, and it was Georgia last night.
Coach, what does this mean for Georgia moving forward? Now, obviously, ascending to the mountaintop. I know people say it's harder to stay there. I kind of personally disagree. I think it's harder to get up than to prove that you've done it once means that you can do it again. To me, like, knowing that it can be done, I think, is a massive, massive mental hurdle that you have to overcome. So ascending up to the mountaintop the first time, to me, is the most difficult. Now staying there will be a challenge without question. But what do you think Georgia does from here on out? Do you think they slow down? Do they take a step back next year? What's the psyche around the program, and what's the leadership around the program going to look like with some new faces in key places?
Well, you're exactly right. You know, the wind blows a little bit higher the more you get up on the mountain. But at the same time, you got to get to the top of the mountain. And a lot of people stop about three quarters on the up there and don't make it. So that analogy is something that I've always felt like that, hey, now that you've been able to do it, you know what it takes to get there. You know what it takes as far as your preparation, your off-season program. You can point to this. These are things that helped us win and all that. And these kids can relate to that as compared to hoping that they can. So I think we were able to do that at Marshall and keep it rolling at Oklahoma. And both you guys at Auburn and Alabama have seen the success. So I think everybody knows they've talked about it, you know, until it makes you puke about, hey, Kirby's a great recruiter, but he can't win and all that. Well, that's out of the way. But I would say this. I haven't been around many coaches in college, high school, pro football that can coach all 22, and Kirby Smart can do it. You've seen him on the field, Greg. He knows football inside and out. He's a developer of talent. You got to keep your staff going. You know, we're losing Lanning. We've lost Tucker. We've lost Pittman. I mean, you got to keep your staff rolling, and you got to keep this transfer portal. Who knows how many guys are going to come in and come out. But I like our shot right now. I like where we stand as far as recruiting. We built a recruiting base, and everybody in the East got to catch us, and now it looks like the West is going to be strong too. You see all these moves that these teams are making. A&M won last year against Alabama. So it's the whole point, though, fortunately for your listeners, everybody else, we got the SEC here. And I don't see anybody catching up with these SEC teams right now. Who would you say can challenge us in around the country? So I think Georgia's going to be right there for a long time.
It's been really interesting to see some of the way too early top 25s for next year, because some of the teams in the top 10, I'm kind of like, I'm not sure I see that about that team really competing next fall, but we'll see how it rolls. Jim Donovan from Georgia.
Who you got in there that I haven't even seen that? Who they got number one?
Oh, well, Georgia's one, Bama two, but I've seen Michigan in the top five, which I've seen Oklahoma in the top five, which I definitely don't see that one, one was really
Oklahoma,
surprising to me.
I mean, you're exactly right there. I mean, big change, but these guys project.
I'd have them in the top five in the Big 12.
Yeah, I just want to give you some love here, which I told you when you were over here, and I know y'all got to go to break. But the best quote of the whole football season was Greg McElroy when he asked him, where does Penn State stand in the SEC? Remember that, Greg?
I remember it.
In the SEC West, maybe. They were fourth or fifth.
I mean, well, it wasn't even wrong, and Penn State fans were up in arms. I'm like, they finished 7-6. Like, relax. Like, y'all are not that good this year.
Take
a
reality
come on, Coach.
Pill, man. Everybody in the country, take a reality pill. SEC stronger than Ajax.
Well, yeah. I mean, lost six of their last eight, too, Penn State. So I guess McElroy was on to
right?
something.
I must have gave him rat poison.
They lost all their coaches, too. They've lost their coaches are – leaving like guys off a sinking ship. I mean, they got everybody going. They even got analysts leaving. So,
Coach Donovan,
they got their head coach got $100 million. So they got one guy.
He ain't going anywhere.
I'm not sure what he's done since he got that $100 million, but he's got it. That's for sure.
Coach Donovan, you mentioned Kirby Smart being able to coach all 22 and the benefits of that. But one thing that I noticed just between things that he says, what the players say, there was a little bit of extra continuity, maybe even just care. Within that Georgia locker room, player to player, coach to player, player to coach, how do you develop that? How do you make that happen on an individual football team?
Yeah, I think this last year, last 2 years, and you guys get to cover it all around, you see these teams, but the fact that we had a COVID situation really was detrimental to building team chemistry, because you can't really interact with guys when you're having Zoom meetings and you don't know all the freshmen because they won't let you get to know them because of the contact of COVID. So that last year was terrible from that standpoint. But this year, Kirby realized that, and they worked really hard to connect with the team and had all these meetings where they had smaller groups and not just necessarily the offensive line meeting together, the offensive line with the defensive backs and all that. Just not football meeting, but who are you? Where are you from? What makes you tick? All that. And he got a psychologist that came in here and talked to him about building team chemistry. And as you know, talking about the NIL and everything, it's a me deal in college football. So many guys are worried about the deals of their own situation, and to build a team chemistry is critical. So I thought we did a good job of that, of coaching the guys up on how to really understand, look, this guy has had a tough life, and you can help him be a better team member by getting to know him. And it's no hunky-dory stuff here. I mean, we got issues like everybody else, but I really thought we did connect pretty well together. And it's pretty obvious watching those guys come up to Stetson Bennett during the fourth quarter and hugging him like that. They knew what he'd been through. And you can't beat that. That's the kind of moments as a coach, as a player, you'll remember forever.
Well, Coach, we appreciate the time. Great stuff as always. We look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Okay, you guys ought to get a 5-star for your show. I enjoy listening to it. Thank you.
We appreciate it, Coach. Thank you very much. Jim Donnan, former Georgia head coach, joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste when there's fun. Bud Light is there.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.